What's going on, you indigenous idiots? I'm Blake. This is Pop. Welcome to Grunt Speak. Not so live.
No.
And we have a long overdue super chat reading from everyone's favorite Native American, Chief Kickabitch of the Slapahoe Nation.
That's fucking comedy gold.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to steal that, bro. That is some funny-ass shit.
Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, my God. And I apologize we didn't cover this on the show.
It was just, it's way too long, and we figured, why not do a whole video on it?
Yeah. Listen, in all reality, we have a lot of time constraints.
Yeah.
And a lot of the longer ones, we just can't get to it. But this one actually is, after reviewing it, we can do a whole episode on it.
Hell yeah. The email is titled, Charlie and I deliver a truckload of karma. Now, fans of the live streams, they're very familiar with who Charlie is, and he does not disappoint. Neither Charlie nor I, on our own, with anyone else, would have pulled any of the outrageous stunts that made our friendship so much fun.
Oh, hey, hang on. This is a gleep glop and floop-de-doo story.
We've all got friends like
that. Listen, when I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but we all have that one friend.
Yep.
You're like, as soon as they show up, you lose 50 IQ points and you're out doing this stupid fucking shit. I know exactly where this is going.
Yep. And it continues for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Part of it was that once we thought up an idea, neither of us wanted to disappoint the other by pussying out. The other part is that when we got together, a weird alchemy occurred. add alcohol to that alchemy, we all know what happens. We fused into a third personality capable of anything as long as it wasn't downright immoral. And we've all had some friends where even then...
Even then, you're like, hey.
Some dudes haven't even hesitated before giving some drunk whammy the Hawaiian luau treatment, if you know what I mean.
Well, I had a friend of mine. He's now dead, but he used to like to put like large explosive devices and people's pumpkins in and around Halloween.
Oh, no.
I mean, we're talking.
That's clean fun, though. No one gets hurt. I would hope, anyway.
When you blow up the pumpkin and the explosive force is so egregious, it shatters the windows in the front of the home. That's a little over the top.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was thinking like cherry bombs, not a block of C4.
No, he made his own shit. It was all flash powder.
Nice. Okay.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You put enough of that stuff together, it gets pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The truly astonishing thing was that we got away with it all. Being the oldest, longest-serving altar boys in the archdiocese at a time when the entire power structure of our small city was Catholic was almost as good as being a priest. When Boondock Saints came out, that was our movie. We could easily see ourselves as those two idiots without the fighting. What about the killing? Shepherds we shall be. During lunch, in early June, as our junior year at an all-male Catholic high school was coming to an end, we overheard two classmates we hated at the next table. They were telling about how they ran through an old couple's flower bed and mowed down their mailbox for the second time in a month. That's dick move. They described the location on Jones Hill Road, and we knew the house on the curve near the bottom of the hill. We knew our town as well as anyone from having cycled everywhere as kids. The worst of the two was Frank, an asshole who wore his red hair and an afro.
Redheaded stepchild.
A little skinny prick who looked like a stick match tried spreading a rumor that Charlie and I were a couple of British cigarettes. No one believed it except a few losers who meant nothing to either of us.
Mm.
But listen, still.
In school, having rumors like that go around about you is pretty egregious.
It does happen. It happens a lot. It happened to me. Mm-hmm. I used to actually help a blind kid. That was from junior high through high school. Him and I took all the science classes together, and I learned to read and write Braille by helping him with his projects.
All right.
And, of course, you know, you can't just be a nice kid. You got to be a British cigarette as well. So that was the rumor that was started. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I like to, tickle his grape leaves or something. He was Middle Eastern, so.
Listen.
High school kids are dicks.
Yeah, and you know what? It happened to me a couple times, and I found out the source, and we had a conference.
A conference. Fist a conference.
I didn't say that. I said conference.
Conference. I got you. I got you. I'm picking up what you're throwing down there. Mm-hmm. That's all good. Let's see. Later, during seventh period study hall, we hatched a plan that would pay off old scores and 3 years accumulated VIG at loan shark rates.
Ooh.
Nice. After school, we headed straight to meet the victims. An old Sicilian gentleman named Pasquale Petrucci and his wife, Maria Carmelina, both now long deceased, and explained what we wanted to do to stop that from ever happening to them again. Free of charge.
Nice.
I like where this is going. When they asked why, we told them that we overheard the guilty parties bragging, and although we could not rat them out, we came by to offer the only stand-up solution we could think of. We were in suits and ties because we had just come from school, two polite, respectable boys. Mm. We explained our plan, and they were on board.
Yeah.
Step one. This is like an Ocean's 11 heist. Was to locate and convince a maintenance crew from United Illuminating to use a pole hole auger to swing by and drill a hole for the post we were going to put in. That was easy. They balked at first, but their objections were swept aside when Charlie asked what they would do if this was happening to their parents or grandparents. They used their largest auger and made a 7-foot hole 2 feet in diameter. It took 5 minutes. We covered with a pile of brush to disguise it and keep anyone from falling in. Then we set about gathering our materials. We were going to use a 4-inch pipe filled with concrete and rebar until we just remembered hearing that the RR was changing some worn track in the rail yard maintenance shed a couple of cities east of us. We went to beg for some of the used rail.
Those are thick-ass wood poles, man. And I've had buddies do the same thing.
They'll give
you like a whole truckload of them if they're near you.
This is going to be crazy.
Okay, here we go.
Long story short, Charlie was born with a piece of the Blarney Stone stuck up his ass, and the construction crew cut and loaded a 10-foot section of worn crane rail weighing 175 pounds per yard into his van.
What?
They even donated ballast stones to mix into our concrete.
Nice.
80-pound bags of cement, sand, 16 feet of 1x12 pine, and a Quonset hut-shaped mailbox completed the shopping list.
Okay.
This is going to be fascinating. We already delivered the cement and sand to their garage, so all we had to do was unload the rail and put it in the hole with the help of a couple of guys from the Communion Club, our wine-drinking buddies.
Yeah!
We've all been there. We've all been there.
Drinking the blood, drinking the Jesus blood.
It must be nice being an altar boy. It is. It really is. What was your name again? This tastes just like, it's just grape juice. Wine tasting buddy.
That's all.
After making sure we had it at the right depth with the railhead facing the direction they had struck from twice already, we wedged it in position and piled 4 feet of brush over it to maintain secrecy. That weekend, we borrowed a cement mixer from a neighbor, Fabio, who volunteered to help by mixing. We loaded the mixer, and he mixed and dumped 20 cubic feet of concrete to fill the hole.
Well, then it's 7 feet deep?
Yes.
That shit is going nowhere.
Nowhere. Then we slipped the sheath Pasquale made from the pine we bought over the post to disguise it and gave the concrete a week to set before finishing the job. After mounting the mailbox, we planted a flower bed surrounded by a new touch, the piece de la resistance, an irresistible lure, a tacky, 1-foot-high white picket fence.
Nice!
Pasquale insisted we have a shot of grappa with him, and then another, and another. We had to wait a couple hours before driving. Grappa's almost pure alcohol, man. That shit. Do you have a name for grappa? Did you ever try that when you were over in Europe?
No, what is it?
Oh, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I know that it is strong as hell. Let me just do a quick search on it here so I can... Alcoholic beverage. Fragrant grape-based pomace brandy of Italian origin.
So it's boiled down wine.
Yeah, up to 60% alcohol by volume.
Yeah, this is the equivalent of a fancy Mad Dog 2020. Yeah,
this is weapons-grade wine.
It's weapons-grade Night Train.
Yeah. Oh, God, Night Train. Anybody out there got some Mad Dog 2020 stories? Put them in the comments. If you can remember them. You probably got a lot of these stories secondhand, if I had to guess.
Well, Mad Dog 2020 is the In-N-Out. No.
And not that kind of In-N-Out?
Sitting on the toilet with a garbage can.
Oh, yes, yes.
I'm never doing that again until...
The next time I do it.
Next Saturday. That's the In-N-Out.
It's those sugary drinks, man. You think that you're not even drinking, and then as soon as it catches up to you, it's already too late, and it's a mess.
I've had the only time that's happened to me, Jungle Juice with grain alcohol.
Oh, God.
And moonshine.
Oh. I think I just felt a lump of vomit just from that description. But let us continue.
All right.
God. Still gets.
Sorry.
Just a little bit. It's just right there.
Sorry. I'm making you sick now.
Well, because I've been there. I've been that guy. You know, the first time that I ever got, you know, literally just upchucking drunk was when I was stupid enough to think that, like, the Smirnoff ice wine coolers wouldn't affect me on an empty stomach.
What?
Yeah, I was stupid. I was young and dumb and full of stuff that rhymes with dumb.
Yeah.
And I'm sure even some of that wound up on the floor. It's quite disgusting.
Oh, my Lord. Keep reading. Sure.
This is good shit, though.
Oh, yeah.
We hoofed it the 2 miles to his place, so he would not be driving back loaded. For the next 3 weekends, on Fridays and Saturdays, the days the previous attacks were carried out, and sat around out of sight, talking, drinking more grappa, and smoking cigars with a new friend and mentor. We remained friends until he died. That's awesome. On the third Friday, July 2nd, 1976, 2 days before this country's 200th birthday.
Wow. I was 8 years old.
They struck.
Oh, yeah.
It was loud, horrifying, and oh, so satisfying. At around 10:30, Frank and the other asshole came down the hill at around 35 miles an hour and hit that pole with the passenger side bumper. The mailbox was knocked off. But the pole didn't move an inch. The old Chevy pickup rotated clockwise a couple of times and came to rest in the middle of the street 30 feet down the hill. The wood sheathing was torn away and the rail rang with a loud spang. The truck didn't stand a chance.
Nice!
Maria called the cops, who soon arrived in force, three cars in all. The cops called for two ambulances.
Oh, no.
Frank was checked out in the ER and was arrested there for DUI and 3 counts of intentional property destruction. Yeah, he had a couple of broken ribs from hitting the steering wheel.
Yeah.
That tends to happen.
Well, he paid his dumbass tax.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just remember, when you think that you're young and invincible and you decide to pull dick moves.
We've all been there.
Yeah. There are people that you could be pulling these harmless pranks on who have been there, done that, and know how to set up your own instant karma so that it's just waiting for you. And all you have to do is not be stupid enough to take the bait.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've done stupid shit. And nothing to that extent. I didn't use a vehicle. That would be incorrect.
Okay, so when we're done with this, you know, vehicle story.
All right.
Vehicle story.
All right.
Because, you know, we can't just have it at this
story.
No. We got to know what Papa's been up to.
When I was a young dumbass.
May or may not have led to an arrest.
No, I didn't get arrested.
Okay, good.
But, you know, I did wind up on a bunch of lists, and those lists were given to the Army. And
I'm sure that list was, you know, never did include your fireworks and clay pot.
Oh, dude.
grenade.
No. It was modeling clay.
Modeling. I said clay. Whatever. Well, clay pot.
Clay
grenade.
Pot. You boil it or you bake it, and it's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Just modeling clay.
Kind of like this.
Here we go.
His accomplice, who was knocked unconscious and broke his nose when his head hit the dashboard, didn't know enough to keep his mouth shut when questioned by the police and ratted Frank out to avoid arrest. Pussy.
Okay.
I didn't add that. It actually says pussy.
It does.
Frank took a plea bargain for 5 years probation and paying restitution and was grounded by his parents until graduation a year later. Intentionally destroying a mailbox just once is punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
See, that's ridiculous.
So
that's
it was crazy. Cop a plea or the prosecutor would have called the postmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. Well, this was back when the United States Postal Service was still a branch of the government and not a private company. Mm. So they tend to be a little bit more egregious.
But, you know, and this is also in the late 70s. He's a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he's. I wouldn't ruin his life over this, but no. I'm glad he did get his. He paid his dumbass tax.
Yeah, he definitely.
I've paid my dumbass tax too.
Yeah, he got cut a karma check, and unfortunately, he overdrew.
Yeah.
The front bumper with the license plate attached landed in Maria Carmelina's rose bushes and was overlooked in cleanup. We claimed our trophy. And Charlie came up with the idea of using it to rub salt in the wounds. When he told me about it, I said that we should ask the cops where they were towing the wreck to see if we could buy the rest of it after the insurance adjuster was done. For $10, the guy at the desk let us take a pile of parts off the truck as long as we didn't take anything saleable.
I love it!
2 years previously, Charlie forgot his combination, so he devised a method of opening the school's old crappy lockers by whacking the combination dial while loiding the latch. Mm-hmm. I don't know if loiding is actually a word, but it's there.
Well, you lift the latch and you bang on it.
Oh, I gotcha, yeah. So after school resumed our senior year, while I stood watch during lunch, he opened Frank's locker and slipped the license plate into his loose-leaf binder.
I love it!
A day later, we snuck the twisted bumper in after school and positioned it in his locker so it would fall out when the door opened.
Yeah! Oh, I love it!
Oh, this is amazing. Since Charlie and Frank had last names beginning with the same letter, the lockers were in the same area, so I had an excuse to be hanging around to witness the show when he opened his locker the next morning. He lost his mind when the bumper fell out with a loud clatter, calling everyone's attention to it. After he had the combination changed, he found the muffler. And later, a caved-in rim attached to a broken axle in his locker.
Nice.
Every so often, pieces of that truck turned up in places where he couldn't help but see them. One day, we got in early and leaned the remains of his hood against the front wall of the room where he had his first class.
Yeah!
That is amazing.
Oh, you want to talk about this is the ultimate rub and touche.
This is awesome.
He just kept doing it. It probably went on for the rest of the time he was in school.
Oh, it's beautiful. Talk about senioritis.
That's good shit.
He nailed it.
Perfect.
We left a baggie full of lug nuts on the table where he ate lunch, a tailgate leaning against his locker, a fender in the area where seniors were allowed to smoke, a driver's side door in his homeroom.
God damn!
A side mirror on the book rack under his desk in Spanish class. We knew we should stop, but couldn't, as our campaign had taken on a life of its own. So until the end of the year, parts of that truck body turned up to torment him at random intervals. He never did find out who so royally fucked him over. That is amazing.
That's a fucking awesome story, man.
Thank you so much for the story and for the $100 donation to the
Thank
show.
Thank you so much, man.
We're not worthy. We every time we get a story like this, just
no. Amazing. But you know, when I was younger, I was a dumbass.
No, we all were.
And like the using the car thing, I remember I didn't have a license in high school.
Yeah.
So I was always like the guy in the back. Well, we're out there.
Well, yeah.
You know, destroying mailboxes. Right?
Of course.
And it was my turn. And literally, we'd be rolling down in this Dodge Fury, 40, 50 miles an hour. And we had like a 15-pound sledgehammer.
Yeah.
You just kind of hold it out there. and it just evaporates.
Yep.
Well, one time. I broke a finger. I got lucky because I let go, but it hit, came back, and like literally blew a hole in through the steel on the side of his car.
Whoa.
It was the size, and it was stuck there. So I'm like, hey Dan, sledgehammer stuck in your car. What? We had to pull over, he had to pry it out with a crowbar, and father was just lividly pissed.
I would be.
And
was the mailbox made of that it had that reaction?
It looked like a normal mailbox. I think it was reinforced for dumbassery.
Ah, okay. So
and I paid
probably somebody like this.
Yeah, I paid the idiot tax, and so did Dan. But we had destroyed probably, I don't know, 100, 150 mailboxes. I'd be in prison for the next 8 lifetimes. For fucking just destroying mailboxes.
What? I just wonder what. Where do dudes get this idea when we're so young and dumb? Like, kind of bored.
Yeah.
I mean, especially back then, you know, because we didn't have internet.
No.
You know, and it's like I'm kind of bored. There's nothing on TV. I've read all my books. It's Sunday. The library's closed. Property damage? Property damage. All right.
Fireworks? Ah! Property damage? Yeah. Yeah, and then, what was another one? Me and my buddy, Gleep Blop and Floop-de-doo, decided we're going to climb on this dude's roof. And it was a real steep one, like made of cement. He had cement tilings or whatever. You could still see the house from 11 Mile on Berkeley.
Okay.
And we didn't think the guy was home.
Boom, well, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, ultimately, who's on my roof? I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh,
so
shit.
He scrambles down like the monkey he was. And I try to go down a different way, which I've only navigated a few times.
Yeah.
Fell. Mm. And hit a nail. Luckily, I didn't need stitches.
Where did it hit you?
Well, I was sliding down and went in grabbed my pants.
Oh, okay.
And quite literally ripped the ass off of the pants.
So you had...
I had to walk home.
Instant assless chaps, just that dumbass.
I walked home with assless chaps, bleeding, because I remember I get to the ground, I'm like, the guy's like, hey, what are you doing on my roof? I'm like, oh, we hit a ball up there, I'm sorry. He's like, okay, are you okay? I'm like, nah, I think I fucked up. So he gave me some paper towel to hold on the scrape.
Oh, man.
And I had to walk home with my assless chaps.
You throw in the King Dongs, you get a Pride Parade outfit.
I come walking up the door. And it's a weekend. My mom's like, hey, what happened to your pants? I was climbing a tree and I fell out. She's like, well, you're bleeding. And my mother's like, doing mother stuff.
Of course.
I didn't tell her the truth that, I was being a dumbass. And I had to pay the dumbass idiot tax. I didn't say that. But,
things happen.
After that, I still hung out with the guy a few times. He came up with some more weird ideas, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that.
No.
Because, you can only walk home one time with your ass hanging out. You just learned your fucking lesson. I don't know.
Yeah, you would think. Usually, if we were all honest with ourselves, one time should be enough to say, okay, I think I'm good on doing shit like that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, many of us are stupid. And
we keep going back to the idiot well.
It's life when you're stupid. We did the video. So the shortest distance between two points in life is a straight line. When you're stupid, it's a telephone cord.
Yeah. Because lessons repeat until they're fucking learned. Holy shit.
And if you make a really big mistake, it's a cordless phone.
Yep.
Just cut off at the knees. Mm. But hey, it is what it is. And we want you guys to send us stories like this, because these are genius.
This is comedy gold,
I want
bro.
More Charlie stories. Tell us about the dumbassery that you guys did when you were kids. Help the younger guys who watch this show. Help them to not make the same mistakes that we did, because I mean, it really, when you think about it, it's a miracle that a lot of us are here alive.
Yeah, and listen, when men are below the age of 25, even in like their mid-teens, their brains aren't developed.
No.
You know, they're like, oh, yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Yep. And then and when you put enough of them in a room, oh, the collective IQ goes down by like 10 points for each additional dude.
Mm-hmm.
And when you add alcohol, it just zeros it out.
Yeah, you're walking around with the collective IQ of an amoeba.
It's like dividing by zero. It shouldn't be allowed, but it is.
It happened.
All right, we'll see you guys next time. Don't forget, send us your stories, redonkulous12@gmail.com or redonkulousblake@gmail.com if you want to avoid the middleman that is Pop forwarding everything to me without reading it.
I read it.
You king-dong-eating bastard.
Suck it!
Four at the same time, just like your ex.
You're going to get me sued, man. Stop.